From Wall Street to your street and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Manufacturing. The question is not where are the jobs, it's where are the workers? Next.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. We often hear talk about how manufacturing jobs have disappeared in the U.S., but don't tell that to manufacturers looking to hire. The problem is that too many applicants lack the necessary skills to do the jobs, so the positions go unfilled. Here to talk about this is Wall Street Journal economics reporter Anna Louise Sussman. Anna, first of all, how bad has this problem become, and how many open positions are we talking about?
So far in 2016, the number of unfilled job openings in manufacturing has been around 350,000 each month. That's up from a little more than 300,000 last year as a monthly average. So that data comes from the Labor Department. You know, every year you'll hear manufacturers say they face a skills gap. I think we're finally seeing it reflected in the data. And that's because as each year goes on, manufacturing gets a little more complex, a little more technologically driven, digitally driven. You know, so you're seeing people working more with 3D printing where you might need computer-aided design skills or computer numeric control machinery that requires very sophisticated maintenance and troubleshooting skills. So those kind of jobs are becoming more common, and it's not clear that our training system and a workforce development system is producing those kind of workers.
And it's apparently gotten so bad, you write that the number of open manufacturing jobs has been rising since 2009, mm-hmm. and this year is the highest level in 15 years, according to the government.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it's happening even as the overall number of manufacturing workers is falling in the labor force. So as of this year, there are about 12.3 million workers in manufacturing in most recent jobs report. If you go back to 2000, it's upwards of 17 million. So even as about 5 million manufacturing jobs have been lost, we're still seeing these jobs go unfilled. I think the two things actually are interrelated. You know, if you think back 15 years, 20 years, as you saw these jobs going away, whether it's to technological change or to outsourcing globalization, it became a less appealing career for a lot of young people. And you see parents and employers stress the value of a college degree. And I think you just had a whole generation that kind of turned away from manufacturing. And at the same time, that impacted what we were offering in our schools. So I've gotten a lot of reader feedback already that says, you know, when I was growing up, we had shop class, and you just don't see that anymore in high schools. So no wonder, you know, people aren't even considering careers like that.
Well, it's all about the educational background these days. Mm-hmm. It's tough to match manufacturing positions with the right workers, isn't it? I mean, certain manufacturing sectors are seeking candidates with the appropriate educational background, the right degrees.
Right, and, you know, there are efforts to get the match going a little bit better. So, you know, if you talk to manufacturers, especially the larger ones, they're linking up with community colleges. They're going into high schools and trying to expose younger people to the career possibilities in manufacturing. But right now, it seems like, you know, they're still waiting to get more people. You can't find someone with 10 years, 15 years, you know, 20 years experience. Those people are really hard to find because they've often been with their company for a long time. They're not really on the labor market. You know, and if you take a company like Carrier, for example, this is the Indianapolis manufacturer that got a lot of attention earlier this year from Donald Trump because they said they were moving their jobs to Mexico. They were going to move the plant and the manufacturing to Mexico. Now, I was told from someone who's based in Indiana, an economist there, that this is actually not a very productive plant. So this isn't one of the you know, high-tech kind of new or advanced manufacturing types of factories. But most of the people there, from what I understand from a union representative in the area, just have a high school education. They haven't been trained, you know, whether it's at a community college or in some sort of apprenticeship to do the more advanced kind of jobs that are out there right now. However, he said there are about 5 dozen people maybe who are among the more skilled in that workforce of around 1,400. And those people are already fielding offers from other manufacturers. Like he said, he got a call from Boeing in Seattle offering $35 an hour plus help with relocation costs because they could really use electricians, maintenance people, more of those high-skilled workers.
It sounds like schools have to catch up somehow. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to somehow get the resources to train these people and educate these people for, you know, manufacturing positions.
Yeah, it's, you know, my understanding is overall community college attendance or enrollment has been declining slightly over the past few years. And that traditionally was a great place where workers would get vocational training. You know, it remains to be seen if that's going to be coming back. Obviously, the Obama administration has talked a lot about community college and, you know, their proposals to make it free for everyone. But I think you're going to see the larger manufacturers step up and start funding some of this themselves. So I heard from Subaru, for example, in Indiana, they have a branch of the local community college on their plant's campus. So they can take people right out of high school and help pay for their training and kind of, you know, get a worker trained right up to their specs to come work, you know, the fairly skilled production worker. That really puts the larger manufacturers at an advantage vis-a-vis the smaller manufacturers.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're talking to someone who employs, you know, 10, 20, 30, 100 people, that person doesn't necessarily have the same resources to, you know, offer that kind of training or, you know, pay the higher wages that would get someone to come work for their factory or that make it appealing for them to go out and train on their own to come work at a place like that.
What if companies boosted pay to lure prospective workers? Would that be a solution?
I mean, the pay is certainly a factor. I heard from one reader this morning who said, you know, he had a career in manufacturing, successful. You know, he was a skilled worker. But at his peak of earnings, he only earned $22 an hour. He retrained himself to do some sort of computer software work, and he said he now makes $60 an hour, and it's a lot easier, and it was easier to learn, you know, because, again, this machinery is super complex. But pay is not going to solve the problem overnight, simply because, as I mentioned earlier, you had almost like a whole cohort of students and, you know, subsequently workers who gave manufacturing a pass for understandable reasons. You know, it was an industry that was shrinking. So you can't necessarily create a number of trained and also equally important experienced workers overnight. You know, even if the pay is great, you still want people to know their way around a shop floor, know their way around a machinery, understand how the supply chain works, and all those things come with time. And, you know, I definitely heard manufacturers say there's an experience gap as well as a skills gap.
Yeah. Wall Street Journal economics reporter Anna Louise Sussman, thank you very much for joining the podcast.
Thank you, Charlie.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.